McDermott here with Allie Alberigo, SchoolOwnerTalk.com. Good morning, Allie.
Hey, Dwayne, how's it going?
Very well, very well. So I wanted to tell you, I know I was supposed to have an employee party this past weekend, because I know in our last call we talked about it, but we got rained out, so we had to move it to next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, well, I mean, it's. I think there's like maybe one or two people that can't come, but the majority of people could come. But it was sad that, we all had blocked out time.
You know,
that's
okay, though. I mean, sometimes, you know, these things happen, unfortunately. But fortunately, you're doing a pool party outside, everyone just hanging out in the nice weather. If it were an internal thing, you would never cancel it. But it's something that you're dependent on weather, and sometimes these things happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I learned from it, and I should have known this, right, is that I always have a rain date.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, exactly. We always post them on, like, the fair. Every year we do a fair, and, we make sure that, you know, we always have – well, they do. They set it up. It's whatever date, and then if it rains, the following date or whatever, so they, because they're promoting it to thousands of people.
Yeah. How was your weekend?
Good, good. I actually taught at at Sheon Andrew Stigliano's United Martial Arts Center. He did a Masters Unite seminar, and I was honored to be one of the guest instructors. So that was Saturday, and it was very cool. It was very reminiscent of, reminded me of my old days when I had first opened my dojo, where I would go to these events all the time, and I'd come out in full force. So people loved me, you know, because if they asked Ali Alberigo to teach, Ali was bringing, you know, 40, 50 people, that kind of thing. However, this guy is my buddy, and he put together a few of our other friends, and we all just brought our students. I brought 30 students with me. It was super fun, great attitudes. There was a kids portion. It's about 120 or more adults and about 50 or 60 kids, so it was crazy. And then he has this huge facility. Probably his main school is probably the floor is about 4,000 square foot. And then his secondary location is like a gym where they do fitness for women and so on. That's probably about another 1,200 square foot, somewhere around there. So it was interesting to have the kids on one side, the adults on the other. I taught a kids seminar, came over, taught an adult seminar, and it was just awesome. Then you had lunch, and what a great day, though.
Well, it's really neat that you all can, everybody's egos aside, and they, you know what I mean? Everybody can share in the wealth of knowledge that everybody has to give.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's it. And, you know, I often say that people are a little bit shocked when I do these things. And there are other school owners that I mention it on teleseminars, and they're like, how do you guys, you know, how do you do this? You know, you're each other's competitors. And I'm like, nah, not really at all. In fact, I actually had a school, was literally 4 miles away, 3 miles away from that school years ago. And it was just it's like a 40-minute ride for me to drive up there and my staff. So I ended up closing the school down. And I sent all of my high-ranking students over to my buddy Andy. And a lot of them have gotten their black belts. They were kids, and now they've grown up, and they're black belts now. And it was pretty awesome. But we weren't competition, really. I mean, I look at it like, you know, we have so many kids and so many people, so many adults that we could pull from. Our real competition, and we've all heard this before, is in the industry, is boredom, is boyfriends and girlfriends, is getting your license, you know, when kids get old enough to drive, and it's, you know, complacency, where they get used to you and they forget how much fun it really is. And then on the bottom line is, you know, soccer, t-ball, baseball, hockey, all those other things. But the main real thing of boredom is not training people to put us high in their queue, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. I guess I never really looked at the other schools in my area as competition per se. It really was all those other activities that, you know, kids could possibly be doing besides martial arts.
Yeah, and you know what? It's no doubt, Dwayne. I mean, we do have competition. You know, if they're looking specifically for martial arts, they don't know what style, they're going to search through the phone book, and they're going to look for all sorts of things, and they're going to find schools that, however we come up, whether our website is better or whether we have a better, search engine optimization, or we advertise more, or we have better word of mouth, that's going to bring us up higher than our so-called martial arts school competition. But it is a competitive field. I mean, when I, just to give you numbers, and I probably said this on one of our calls, when I opened my school in 1991, there were 400 schools from the tip of Montauk Point all the way up through Albany, and New York State is a huge state. 400 schools. Now we're close to 4,800 schools. So it's gone up by 100% the competition.
I just want you to know that you really dated yourself by saying that they looked up in the phone book.
Yeah, well, exactly. And that's what it is. It's like, you know, I was shocked back then that we had that many schools. Now I look at it and there's a school on every corner of every road, and we have at least 4 to 6 of them right in my 3-mile radius in my area. So yes, it is competition, but here's the thing. We have to segregate and separate ourselves from the other guy. We don't want to be one of 20 Italian restaurants. We want to be the specialty fusion chef Gordon Ramsay restaurant that people are going to come to because we branded that restaurant that where people are they're wanting to come to that specific style. And that's what I've done with my ninjutsu program. We're like no other. I mean, in fact, I'm the only one in my area in all of Suffolk and Nassau County that teach our system of ninjutsu and really pretty much does ninjutsu. Everyone else is an offshoot. 90% of the schools that teach ninjutsu in my area are either my ex-students or people that have trained with teachers that I know.
Well, and that's the key that you're talking about there is that you have created a brand and you differentiate yourself from everybody else, and that's what makes you special in your own way, and that's what we all need to make sure that we're doing as school owners is that the first thing is we know who we are and who we want to be. I guess we got to first know who we want to be and then who we are.
Right.
If those two aren't the same, then we got to make sure that they're both the same. They're one and the same, who we are and who we want to be, not just to ourselves but to the public. And then we have to strategically work on making sure that everything in our business, from the telephone to online to the floor, even advertise, everything has to be congruent with what it is that, you know, who we want to be when we grow up so that the community can get a grasp of that. But we also, on the flip side, have to make sure, because we could do all of that work and still fail, because we have to make sure that there are customers in our vicinity, because
right.
we're a brick-and-mortar business. We have to make sure that there's customers in our vicinity that want or need something like that. I just throw this out there. This is, you know, goofy, but if you if you wanted to be the school that only taught, let's say, left-handed whatever, you pigeonhole yourself in such a way.
Yeah,
well,
or like one-armed techniques for only one-armed people. Right.
Yeah. I mean, that would be great, maybe to do that on a national or international level through, obviously, the web. But inside of your town, you can't do that. And I make that sound goofy just because we have to understand that we've got to have a product that is going to sell before we even work on the product. Now we know through years and years of testing, not even on our own, but other school owners that have had schools maybe in our areas, that there is a need for martial arts. Now we have to decide, who are we, like I said, who are we going to be? Who are we going to be to ourselves, to our community, and then make sure that it's all congruent. And that's what you've done to be successful. I mean, it's not the only thing you've done, but that's one of the key successes is to make sure that that's all congruent, right?
Yeah, and you know what? There are so many levels to what you just said. We could do 20 calls on this. It could be listed under branding. It could be listed under marketing. It could be listed under, developing our rules for our school. And there's a lot of different touch points that you had just mentioned, things that is not just one specific thing. And, it's absolutely true. For example, here's the best analogy. I have a program which is for the blind in my school, taught by one of my black belts who lost his sight. We've talked about him in the past, and he's just amazing. He actually came to the seminar with me this past weekend, and 80% of the people didn't know he was blind until we mentioned it. He was running around the place, and then this is a foreign place for him, running around. He doesn't know the layout. He was doing rolls and falls. Sometimes he was off, and people corrected him. But people didn't notice it until we mentioned that he was visually impaired. Anyway, we have a program for the visually impaired, and, we have about
40 people, but they come from all over Long Island in Suffolk and Nassau County, which is a big area, and they get bused in, driven in. But if we were to just do it in our community, he'd probably have 3 or 4 students, right? And 40 students isn't enough to survive if he ran a commercial school, you know, with having, you know, the income and the bills and all that other stuff. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's like finding something that's so specific that maybe people won't do it. It's like saying, okay, we're going to have and I don't even know, but let's pretend a Vietnamese restaurant that serves worms and bring that to Long Island. You could talk about how beautiful it is, make the restaurant gorgeous. You could have great branding and great signs and all that. People are probably just not going to eat at that restaurant.
Yeah, I don't know that I would be.
Like, you know what I mean? So that's where we have to think about it as, and you say it, you know, what are we going to be when we grow up? You know, so long, school owners are not connecting the dots. I did a seminar and I said, what's your brand? And I went around the room and I asked people, and, you know, they raised their hands. They said, Taekwondo, Wing Chun, Aikido, Karate. And I said, that's not your brand. What's your brand? You know, they didn't know. They were dumbfounded. And I said, well, what does your school stand for? What's your message? Are you a family-based school? Are you a competition school? Are you a hardcore school? Like, what is it that people see when they come through the door? If they were able to peer into the glass when you were closed and just look at your school, what message would you give? And that's a homework assignment I often give to people. I said, go to martial arts schools while they're closed and just put your eyes to the glass and look in and tell me what type of school they are. My daughter went to a party, I think I mentioned it last week, and she went to a friend of mine's school, and she was there for a birthday party. And I said, well, what kind of school was it? I think I mentioned this last week, I think. And she said, I don't know. I said, well, what are they? What's your feeling? What'd you see? What'd you smell? What'd you hear? She goes, I don't know. It's just a karate school, I guess, because we kicked and punched. I don't know what they do there. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and we don't understand, and I didn't when I first started. I mean, I was just teaching classes. I was just teaching karate to kids and adults and teenagers or what have you, and that I never understood that in order to take my business to the next level, that I needed to understand who I really wanted to be and how that related to my community, and then being able to obviously share that with my community in a way that they could understand it and then even own it themselves.
Right, right. Yeah, oh, absolutely. And you know what? I think even you and I are still developing our brand further and further and further, aren't we? Where we are, you know, we're looking at who we are. Sometimes we're growing up and deciding on who we really want to be. Because, you know, I've changed my brand many times. And I don't say necessarily my entire brand. But, you know, at one point I was known as the hardcore bad boy of the area. I mean, we were knocking down, throwing on hardwood floors, you know, full contact fighting on the full first class, you know, and, you know, beating the crap out of brand new students. Obviously, I had no students, you know, because of that, but that's who we were. And then, you know, we've slowly kind of melded into this Life Skills Institute. You know, my slogan is, it's not just kicking and punching, it's the martial arts and beyond, you know, and we teach kids from 2 years old on up to adults, you know, so it's pretty interesting. So we've kind of, and we're still developing.
Well, I think you have to. I mean, any good business does that. They rebrand themselves to a certain degree, but they don't lose the core of their brand. I mean, think of how many sayings Nike has had, or McDonald's, or you know, any successful business that has rebranded themselves. You know, the core essence of Nike is still a shoe. You know,
right?
I mean, but remember when Bo Jackson said, "Just do it." You know, it was the shoe that, you know, apparently made you get things done and,
right.
You know, made you had some, you know, some cojones to go after it. And that's what we have to do as school owners, is we have to rebrand ourselves to a certain degree every once in a while to stay up with the times too, and what people are looking for and what they want. And that doesn't mean that you know, now that, let's say you have a traditional school and now you have to become untraditional. That's not what I mean at all. But the way that you approach it, the way that you get people to understand it might have to evolve. I don't even like to say the word change, because I think that if you say the word change, it sometimes sounds like you have to give up everything, and you don't. You just have to evolve and have it morph into something that's a little bit more up to date and more with the times and those type of things.
Yeah, and also, too, sometimes schools don't take enough time to really look at who they are. Like, all they have to do is ask some really interesting, inventory or auditable questions, you know, where they say, what do I do best? Some people love teaching kids. You know, some people hate teaching kids. You know, what is my biggest population in the school? Well, you could hate teaching kids, but if you have all 90, you have 100 students and 80 of them are kids, you're a kids-based school. You know, if you want more adults, you could go after that market, but maybe it's because you're not branding yourself that way. We've had a friend that I coach and you coach that has eventually started really looking at who he is in branding and started to develop a bigger kids program and looking at his, you know, his population and how to get that message out there, right? And that's really important. So sometimes we are not really marketing our brand. We're not explaining it to the people all that well. We don't know how to actually identify it.
Well, and we can be more we can have more things going on than just, you know, we have an overview or we have a brand of what the school is, but you can have subcategories inside of that. And
right.
So for you, you know, you have the visually impaired class. That's not something that you necessarily market to everyone, but mm-hmm. you send that information out to a niched market in order
right.
to build that population. Same thing
right.
with kids. I mean, if I want just 3, 4, and 5-year-olds or whatever, you know, if I want to just my little bitty classes, then, you know, I create just that market or I create just that niche, and I go and I find that market and I speak to them through the brand that I've created for my school. But of course, I'm going to speak to them and their needs a little bit differently than I'm going to speak to the teenagers' parents that I want in my school. So
right.
you can have many different programs or subcategories or however you want to label it, but they all fall under the main idea, the main feeling, and that's really kind of what a brand is. You know, it's the feeling that you have in your business, but it's created in such a way that you could actually verbalize it and within, you know, your one-sentence statement, people can get it, or at least they should get it.
Right. Well, there you go, though. I mean, that's a great statement that you made, but there's the misconception of branding. So for example, you basically said that, and I'll just summarize it and tell me if I'm right or wrong. I'm just listening to what you said. You said that you don't have to be just a brand for kids, just a brand for teens or adults, or just the hardcore school. However, right? Is that not that's what you said, right? So that being
exactly.
So basically, though, if we do have a brand, so is that brand our brand is everything, right? The brand could be everything. Like, for example, McDonald's doesn't just serve food to kids. They have Happy Meals, and they market that program. They have, you know, McLatte coffees now. They market that stuff as well. So there's two different dynamics. A four-year-old's not getting a coffee, but a parent may come in and have a coffee while their kid's eating the other garbage that McDonald's, you know, serves, right?
Exactly.
I had to throw that in there. That's my vegan personality. But anyway, so my point being is, but we still have to get a brand. We have to find out who we are. And if we are going to be a collection or eclectic in what we do, then that's fine. But we have to find a way to get the public to understand it, right?
Certainly. And I think this is a great example that, you know, I have my brand for my school, but I also, I do have MMA. Inside my school,
right.
and the biggest thing for me was the reason I didn't want to do MMA was because it was it's a totally different market than what my current brand is.
Mm-hmm.
But the other reason that I wanted to do MMA is I had the space, I had the time, I actually had people that could teach it that are actually very good at what they do in the mixed martial arts realm. And so I knew that I could create a class. I just did not want to bring in MMA and it do anything to my current brand because it's not worth it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But what we've done is we've created it in such a way that it is, you know, our Team Genesis is our fighting team. And it does MMA or mixed martial arts out of TriStar Martial Arts Academy. So it almost seems like it's its own business, and it is, but it's its own business doing business outside, you know, through our gym, if that makes sense.
Oh, it totally
makes
sense.
So that way, yeah, and I'm not the face, even though I own it, I'm not the face. I have an instructor that is the face of it. He does all of the contacts to whatever needs to be done. He does all of that so that, you know, I don't personally have anything to do with it with regards to my face, because my face is branded to my school, and I don't want there to be a crossover with that for a couple of reasons. One, I don't want to hurt the brand that I've created for my school, but two, I don't want to hurt the brand that we've created for the Team Genesis, because a lot of people, you know, look at and this is what we had the problem in the beginning is, oh, it's a karate school trying to get on the bandwagon for mixed martial arts. And we started our mixed martial arts program about 10 years ago or 11 years ago when it was really, really hopping. And so that was one of the hurdles that I first saw was I had, oh, you know, you're a karate school that does MMA. Yeah.
Right.
No,
right.
We're not. And so I had to go back and rebrand it in such a way so that it looks like, and it practically is, but it looks, like I said, it looks like a, you know, Team Genesis just operates inside of TriStar Martial Arts Academy after hours, if you will.
Right. Yeah.
Does that all make sense?
No, it totally does. And here's the thing, just to clarify this for everyone who's listening, it is a little bit more detailed than what Dwayne is saying, where you separate and segregate the brands. However, there is no problem having a family-based martial arts school that teaches martial arts that has an MMA program, or an MMA program that's separated in case people want to do MMA, they could go there. But this MMA team is an elite team that goes around and dominates the tournaments, competes as if they were MMA fighters. You know what I mean? So there's nothing wrong with that. I think, though, the level of branding that's missing is where there's a big disconnect, and it's incongruent, where it doesn't match the message that we're putting out there. I'll give you an example. Many people, I redo their websites. I have a website company. I talk about it all the time. And many times I'll see their site of what they have now, and all the things that they're saying on their site are totally incongruent with their ads that they're running on Facebook, their Facebook posts, and there's a mismatch. So, for example, if we run an ad on Google AdWords and it says, get in the best shape of your life, you know, shred fat, get six-pack abs, and then they go to a page and the homepage has kids on it and their faces are smiling and they're talking about karate, people will click off immediately. I found this in research where they'll go, this is not the site, because in their brain from the ad they were envisioning a kickboxing gym or a CrossFit gym or a hardcore martial art MMA gym where they train physically, and so it's a lot of misunderstandings as far as brand goes. So my one suggestion, and then we can maybe move on a little bit to some of our other topics, is that people look at themselves and maybe they write down, you know, in a column on a piece of paper, one column that says, who do I want to be, and write down all the different things they want their school to represent. This is a really good homework assignment. And if they say, well, I want to be a family school, I want to teach real traditional martial arts, I want to teach blah, 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 and go down the list, I want to be, you know, create leaders in life and, you know, that kind of thing. And then write down on the other column, and this is important, what you do not want to be, so that you make sure you're not those things, so that there is no mixed message to the audience, to the people who are reading your ads or coming and visiting your school. For example, if you have a school that says Black Belt Champions, we build black belts, and then you come in and the parent asks, how many black belts do you have? And they go, well, we don't really promote black belts. It takes way too long. Too many people quit. Well, obviously the message is not true. You know, so do you really build black belts? And if you do, that should be a really big promotional point when you're advertising, how you create people and how they stick with the program, et cetera, et cetera. So really look at those two columns and start to develop who you are. And you and I, Dwayne, we talk about this as a next level school owner mindset, right, where people understand these things. This is not the elusive, you know, white horse that we've never seen before, you know, that kind of thing.
Most definitely, yeah. I agree.
Yeah, so I mean that, you know, but yeah, you're, you know, that's where we're on, you know, and we're actually, you and I think that we're doing a good job of kind of separating the mishmash, the fluff in our industry nowadays, where people are seeing things and going, are we really, you know, are we going to just go through the same old funnel, you know, sales funnel and hear the same old coaching about just a new system on how I can make more money, make more, get more students, but they quit. You know, retention has a lot to do with the messages being congruent, whether it's real or not. Do you agree?
Well, absolutely. I mean, and it doesn't matter. I mean, it matters. You need to have substance, but it all matters what's happening between the ears of your client. Yeah, that's all that really matters. And their perception is reality. And if there is a mixed message, they will perceive something that may not even be there.
Right.
And until you investigate it and figure out what it is, you're going to keep making the same mistakes over and over again. And you got to, you know, the whole leaky bucket. I mean, we're going to lose students. That's not a question. But
right.
It's so much more fulfilling. And I think it sometimes it's harder, but it's so much more fulfilling to rescue a student and keep them longer. Because we can have such a great impact on them. We know what the martial arts does. It's worth it to investigate that, to make sure that, you know, we do that. I mean, of course, you can put an ad out and get 10 more people in and hopefully sign them up and replace that person that you lost or what have you. But, you know, you really also lost not just revenue, but the most important thing is you lost that relationship and that connection to be able to help change that person's life for the better.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting, Dwayne, too? I just recently had a guy who hasn't trained with me in 10 years, who is a Coast Guard operator that does boat seizures, you know, like drug boats that are coming over or pirates
yeah.
that are literally out there trying to seize other vessels. That's what he does for a living. And he made it. He wrote me a testimonial. Like, it's more than a testimonial. It's like a little story, you know, like a five-paragraph summary of where he took his martial arts in the last 10 years and how he uses it to stay safe. And now he's a husband and a father. And, you know, the lessons that I taught him that have pushed him in a certain area and how hard I was. And it was really quite unbelievable to hear this after all this time. We stay in touch on Facebook, but he had done this testimonial after seeing others, and he goes, I want to share this with other parents so that they could see where their kids could end up if they continue rather than quitting. And
yeah.
that was really the most important thing. That's where I thought it to be beautiful, right? So anyway, long story short, it really is who we are as a brand, and I've stayed pretty steadfast over the last 25 years. I have to say that. I'm not, and you know me, Dwayne, I'm not the kind of guy that just talks crap. Most of the time, every single thing I say is backed up, and if you just walk in my school and see the truth, that's really where it is. The numbers don't lie. You know, I'm not one to say, hey, I haven't opened and closed a few schools. I'm the guy who, you know, has, you know, traveled the world and taught in different areas, and those schools opened. Maybe I decided to close them for whatever reason, but I'm not embarrassed to say that I've had failures or successes and so on.
Well, and you shouldn't be. I mean, that's the like, you look at the most successful athletes in the world, and they made the most mistakes.
Right, exactly. Yeah, without a doubt. So I think that's where we should be. But anyway, so we also talked about a few other things. Like, I had a guy who just reached out to me this morning, and it was on a Facebook message, and he said, Ali, I have a parent, and he, you know, they just signed a two-year agreement. We're like 4 months in, and now they don't want to come anymore. What do I do? So we had this big, long conversation. Do you sue? Do you let them out? Do you charge them an exit fee? You know, what are your pros and cons on all of that stuff, Dwayne? What do you think about, you know, holding people to a contract or letting them out, or, you know, good vibes, bad vibes in the community if you don't? What's your thoughts on all that?
Well, I'll tell you where I used to be and then how I've morphed to where I am now, because I think it's more complicated than that. Because what I don't want school owners listening to this is to take what I'm saying as gospel with regards to where I'm at now, because they kind of need to understand where I came from. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, for me, when I first started, I was very timid to do that. So if somebody wasn't paying, I would, okay, let me wipe it out or let me help you and those type of things. And the problem is that you start to get burned enough, and especially if you keep track of your numbers, you start to get pissed off that, you know, the bank could say this, but it really doesn't say this because of these people. And so, you know, so anyways, you when I first started, I wouldn't chase anybody. And then I started to make deals where, okay, yeah, you're 4 months behind. Well, if you just pay me right now for 2 months, I'll wipe out the other 2 months. And I've done that. And, you know, I have not seen a difference between the people that I let go with, you know, like wiped out everything, or the people that I did a deal with. The majority of them all still end up quitting at some point in the very near future, if not right away anyways.
Right.
So it's so it's better to get the money, but what's even better is to get the whole thing, because they committed themselves by signing on the dotted line saying that they were going to do X, or they were going to do Y, or they were going to do Z. And now I feel, and part of it's because I'm jaded, but I feel it's my obligation to hold them to the agreement that they said that they were going to do.
Right.
But I didn't get there overnight. It was something, it was a process of going through many years of frustration to do that. Now, have I taken anybody to court yet? Haven't had to do that yet. Have I turned anybody into collections yet? Haven't had to do that yet, but you know, I hate to do it, but I'm ready and willing.
Yeah, and you know what, you've said all the right things, where you've played devil's advocate and done the right thing, and you stood by people and you helped them by waiving their fee and, you know, letting them go, so to speak, and not charging them and saying, okay, I guess, you know, we'll work with you. Because I think in our industry, which is odd because it's the only industry that I know that acts this way, where we're in fear for our reputation continuously, so that we are always afraid that Mrs. Jones is going to go from being the biggest fan, and if we don't let her get away with murder, she's going to – and by the way, Mrs. Jones is not a student of mine. It's just a fake name. But we are then allowing them to out of their agreement and then say, okay, do what you want when you want, because I'm afraid you'll say negative and bad things about me. Right. And that's really not at all the case. You know, if all I have to do is to rebuttal someone's negative words by saying they signed an agreement and promised to be with me for that period of time and then didn't pay me. Everyone in the world will look at that as a breach of contract and look at it as somebody. They could say all they want. Yeah, those guys are a contract-based school. They hold everyone to their agreements. Well, that's how we run our business. We never forced anyone to sign those contracts. It wasn't something that we were secretive about and then all of a sudden have said, oh, you really didn't sign an autograph for me because I thought you were famous. That was actually a contract, and now you're locked in. We're very clear, and we go over it once, twice, and three times in the signing. And everyone loves it until they don't love it anymore. And then they think you're the worst guy. You went from being, and I hate to use the terms, we'll say like Gandhi to Hitler in a swoop of a snap of a finger.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So it's true. I had a meeting last week. I got a letter a week ago from a lady. She had she was doing my summer special.
Right.
She said, oh, I have a meeting with you. And she seemed excited about it. And I said, oh, well, you're going to actually be meeting with Mrs. Keast, our program director. She says, okay. So she sat down with her and proceeded to tell her, like when Mrs. Keast was going over everything, did you read the letter? Probably had any questions. And this is what the price is. And she's like, Dwayne's going to give me a deal. And, well, Melissa didn't know anything about it because I didn't know anything about it. And she said, well, yeah, I was here 4 years ago, and he offered to help me out, and because I'm a single mom, blah, 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 blah. And, like, Melissa goes, well, that might have been 4 years ago, but, you know, we – all our students now are full price. You know, if we – you know, you only pay for one, and we pay for the other one, that takes a spot, and we can certainly fill a full, full-paying spot. Well,
right.
She was not happy. She apparently left. Little angry. She wrote a letter, and the funny thing is I didn't even see the letter because my office used to be there, but it's not there anymore. I have a conference room, but she took the letter and slipped it underneath the door, assuming that was my office.
Right.
So I didn't see it until Friday. And, So then I read the letter, and I told Melissa, I said, hey, I need you to make a meeting with her. And anyways, going through the letter, and by the way, I mean, I think I've said this before. I mean, I one of my brands, or part of my brand is, and it's not, I'm not, it's not a ploy, by the way. So when I say this, and I don't know why I feel I have to even justify that, but I run a Christian martial arts school. Well, inside of this letter, she had written there that 4 years ago that, you know, this is the nutshell. 4 years ago, I said that I was going to do this, and now I've rescinded on the deal, and now she's attacking my Christianity, and she's attacking my charity, and saying that, you know, basically the whole nutshell was that, you know, because I wouldn't do what I said I was going to do 4 years ago, that, you know, somehow now I'm less or even not a Christian, or that I'm not genuine and stuff like that. So I'm like, okay, Melissa, you need to make a meeting with this lady. So we sit down, and I said, you know, I said, thank you for, you know, agreeing to meet with me. By the way, let me back up and say that she, when I had Melissa call her, I said, Melissa, I'd like you to make a meeting with her, but I want you to word it this way. Ask her if she would agree to meet with me.
Right.
Because I need her. And Melissa's like, look at me. Well, yeah, I'll tell her you want a meeting. I said, no. I need you to ask her if she will agree to meet with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need her to feel like she has the power.
Right.
Because obviously, you know, so there's that's just an aside note for people when they're communicating, by the way. So anyway,
right.
You know, I make a meeting, we sit down, and I open up by saying, you know, thank you for agreeing to meet with me today. And she says, oh yeah. I said, I just wanted to talk about, because I believe that there were some assumptions that were made.
Yeah.
That should not have been made.
Right.
And I said, I don't know that 4 years ago I said that I would do X, Y, or Z. I probably did. I said, but you assumed that because you didn't get it, you know, you didn't take advantage of it 4 years ago, that I was all of a sudden going to do it for you this time. And I said,
right.
By the way, you should not have even gotten a summer special because you've already done a trial, and summer specials are for new trial members only. So Melissa allowed you to come in at a $39 trial when you shouldn't even have got it. And I said, you know, the other thing that you assumed is that, you know, I would give you the same deal and that everything would, you know, be fine. And I said, you know, the other thing that's in the letter is that, you know, you said, and I'm trying to remember the letter now, but you said something with regards to that, you know, your kids aren't going to, aren't, you know, aren't going to believe in or look up to people like me because I rescind on the deal. And, you know, I don't know why your kids would even know that I was rescinding on a deal unless you were telling them. Because
right.
That's an adult conversation, and that doesn't need to be said to a kid.
Right.
So we went through all this. And it's like, and but you can, and I'm sure you've had conversations like this before, but it's just the fact that.
I think only once, Dwayne, only once in 25 years. No, I'm just kidding. I've had a penny, only a penny for every time that has happened to me in some sort of crazy, convoluted way, I'd be loaded right now. So. Crazy,
but
right?
It's amazing how, yes, it's amazing how people think that you owe them or you're not charitable or you don't care about them or whatever. And they play on our emotions as school owners because that's the exact business that we're in. We want to help people. And I will tell you that the most compliant clients that I've ever had are always been my most expensive ones, meaning that they pay me the most. And the ones that give me the most headaches are either the absolutely free ones or
right.
The ones that I've cut a deal with.
Right.
And that's all I'm going to say with regards to that. But I think that school owners need to really take that into consideration because it's so true.
Well, I'd like to add to that. And here's another lesson for the school owners. So number one, I just recently had my summer camp. I had these two children, twins.
One absolutely amazingly well behaved. The other one had a ton of struggles. I mean, he was hitting and bullying other kids. He broke things, didn't listen, continuous timeouts. I mean, if we said his name over and over and over again more than, you know, 1,000 times in the last 4 weeks, you know, it was, that was playing it lightly. So, we told the kid that he's going to be punished. He couldn't go to bowling day, and that we hoped would make a difference. I spoke with him on the telephone. The very next Monday, he's hitting kids again. So I called the mom up. I said, ma'am, we cannot control your child. He doesn't want to listen. There's nothing we could do. We'd love for you to take him out of the camp, maybe find a different place that he might listen. Well, anyway, she was mad because she has twins. She was very angry with me, blamed it on me. We have no control. We don't have enough counselors. There's too many kids per student capita, which all was all false. Of course, she's just turning that around. And then she pulled her kids out of camp, immediately demanded a refund for the few dollars she paid for that that she didn't get credit for. So we gave it to her. And she's pulling them out of the school now because, you know, we didn't do our job. When she's, you know, everyone pointing the finger outward rather than pointing the finger inward. And sad because in the dojo environment of that 1 hour class rather than 8 hours when they're leaving him for camp, he's very, you know, he's learning. He's changed. He's grown. And it's a shame. And the one kid is so good, and he's always being punished for his brother. He, you know, the brother picks on him, the brother gets in trouble, so both twins get in trouble. It's such a shame. And I tried to explain it to the parent, please don't punish your child, your other kid for one other's behavior. Oh, I just need to put him in one place, you know, and that kind of thing. And she was very angry, she still won't return my calls, and so on. So it's shocking. You know, so this is why, going back to the start of you and I, before we started to hit record, I said, there are certain rules that you should make within a school that are undeniable rules that you never change and don't vary. So you say, if people fall more than 1 month behind, you cut them off and they're not allowed to train until they get caught up. If they miss a payment, they pay a cancellation fee that makes it a little painful for them so that you're not on the bottom of the totem pole. You know, another rule might be if they don't wear their uniform two or three times in a row, or they show up missing equipment, or whatever the case may be, whatever your tolerance threshold is, you then say, I'm sorry, ma'am, take them home and come back the next day when you have the correct equipment or the correct uniform or a washed uniform, et cetera, et cetera. We often preach that we teach discipline. However, we don't follow through with discipline. Parents say, oh, it's not Johnny's fault. I didn't wash his uniform, so he's wearing a Star Wars T-shirt. Go, no, ma'am. Discipline comes from the top down, so we have to show them he's not allowed to wear the Star Wars uniform, Star Wars T-shirt, at all. And the kids quite often know this, and they cover their uniform shirt over their gi so I can't see it. And the parents don't realize that they're doing damage. It's 5 steps forward for us, and the parents are taking them 6 steps backwards. Right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Exactly. And that's where, you know, we as school owners need to sit down, and when you come up with, because you're not going to think about these things all at once.
Right.
But as something happens in your school, you always, and everything, you always need to sit down and think about it. Is this going to be a one-time occurrence, or could this possibly be, you know, an occurrence that could happen over and over again or every so often? And how do I what do I have in place to say that enough's enough, or this isn't going to happen and this is what's going to happen if this happens? But then secondly, is there also anything that I can do to prevent it from happening, meaning that I need to educate the parent or whatever, so that you put those systems and those milestones or whatever, you put those things in place so that you have – you're not caught off guard. You know exactly what you're going to do when X, Y, or Z happens. But like I said, you're not going to think of everything, especially if you haven't already been in the business for, you know, 10, 20 years, you're not going to think of everything. And even if you have been and you haven't been doing what we just said with regards to coming up with solutions as they arise, then you need to go back and start thinking some of the problems that you had before, write them down and come up with the solutions, and then come up with also the way to hopefully not allow those to even happen anymore.
Yeah, and you know what? There's one important thing that I want to put out that you said that I want to make sure I highlight is that, yeah, we're definitely going to go through these bumps and bruises. Unfortunately for Dwayne, you and I, we learn them by the school of hard knocks. The fortunate thing for all the people listening and people who ever get involved with programs that we run and so on and so forth, is that they're going to get, you know, 25 years of my experience just owning a school and your experience and all the things we've been through. And by the way, me having thousands of students, so I've kind of light-eared it ahead, because I didn't just have a school with five people, I had schools with hundreds of people. So I had hundreds of issues, hundreds of more times of me learning the hard way. And then the next thing you highlighted too was that, you know, we have to make sure that we are out there telling people, you know, explaining to students and the parents or whoever is joining the school that there are reasons why we do what we do, right? It's not just about us, you know, having a rule for the sake of having a rule. It's about us having a rule for the safety of the school, for the foundation, for the strength of the school staying in business. And the last thing that I wanted to comment on too was that, you know, even though that we're, you know, we want to be hardcore and we want to say, hey, it's my way or the highway, we still should be open to thinking. If we get things that happen over and over and over and over again, we should look at that. And like you said, Dwayne, it's about education. Sometimes people perceive things one way until they're taught to hear it and see it from our point of view, or maybe explain as to why we do this. They might think it's rigid for us to make them wear a school t-shirt until they realize that it's about uniformity, making sure that everyone is dressed correctly, looking the same, acting the same, being a part of something. They might say, oh, that makes sense. Now I'm going to make sure that shirt is washed rather than buck the system all the time.
Yeah, right? So all those, I totally agree.
Yeah, so all super important. So anyway, do you want to do any closing statements?
No, I think that was this is a really great call. I know we talked in the beginning, the first half, more about branding and making sure who you are, and then being able to obviously address that to everybody in your community, including your own students. But then on the latter half of the call, you know, going over you know, what to do, or at least coming up with some sort of rules and how to do that, and following through with that. So I'm excited about that. And I hope that school owners share this with other school owners too, so that they can
benefit
from this.
Coming up, we have a really cool thing that we're going to be releasing soon, which is I don't even know if I should mention the name of it, but it's a booklet that's already shaken up the industry. We've launched it to a few people, and everyone is like freaking out over how cool it is and how awesome it is, and if they only knew this when they started and blah, blah, blah. So we're going to have that coming out real soon.
Yeah, page 12 and page 13, right?
Yeah. Going right. Dwayne, what the heck did we write on page 12 and 13? Because everyone is freaking out about it. So it's pretty cool, but yeah, I'm excited for that to be released. And dude, I'm going to say this wholeheartedly. I just want to help people who help others, you know, and martial arts is my avenue. Some people might have clergy, or they might be charitable foundations. My power and strength is in the martial arts and teaching lessons and changing lives through the martial arts. So I am excited about sharing what I know so that I could help make my mark on society. And I believe you and I are both in sync in regards to that. So that's why I love sharing these topics, so that it can make school owners better. So in the end result is that they become more powerful in their communities and help more people. That's really the selfish point of what I have.
I concur.
Yeah.
And you know what? Here's the nice part is you actually – are living proof of it by what we talked about in the very beginning of the call, just getting together with all those other masters and teaching together and not worrying about, you know, these are my students or they're going to leave me to go to you. And I mean, you really live that. So that's one of the things I admire about you. So,
well, thank you, Dan. I feel you do as well. So thanks so much for all, you know, being with me and standing by me and being a part of what we do, and to us being partners together and changing the industry as a whole.
Well, everyone, share this call, and I hope you picked up some information about it. Remember, you can always subscribe to iTunes, where the podcast is there. And then if you have an Android device, that information is on schoolownertalk.com and how you can subscribe to the podcast there as well. Allie, have a great day.
Yeah, you too, Dwayne. Thanks, man.
Bye, everyone.